Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and we have a wonderful topic tonight. You know, how perception is everything. What you see, it gives you opinions. Does it give you the wrong idea when you see something? Many times it does. We know that. And I have the lovely Maya Moon with me tonight. Maya, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And as always, it's great to be here and great to be here with you, Miss Natalie. So welcome to everyone. And yes, this is a great topic. I love when our topics are relevant to today's society and applicable to pretty much everyone. I think, don't you think that we all, to some degree, in some one situation or another, we do tend to, you know, even if we're correct, which we're not always is the problem, we do tend to make assumptions or make judgments, you know, like what's the old saying about the first impression is always the right impression? I don't agree with that, but yeah,
I don't either.
It's good to be here, and I do think it's an important topic, and I'm glad that we're able to talk about it with everyone. So those that are listening, I think you'll find that it really is an enlightening subject.
It really, really is. And, you know, oftentimes you meet somebody. And if you're in the field that we're in, I think our senses are really finely tuned. And I've had this happen to me before where I would meet somebody and I could just tell that we were not going to have this rapport. Either it's because of the energy, like we will discuss the energy that they put out and you receive. Sometimes it's like this, you get this feeling like you want to step back away from them. That's really a strong energy. I know one particular incident. I met somebody and at a soccer game. I think I told you about this, Maya. And this lady, you know, she's a friend of my son's family, but that's okay. But I could tell she didn't want to get too near me. I would say hi to her, how are you doing? And I know her husband and her children, and they're really loving. They give me hugs all the time. But there's something about her, and it's always the same with her. And I don't know if it's because of what I do or what she doesn't know what I can do, you know. So that's like her perception is really, when I'm amongst people like that, I don't discuss what I do. I don't say, oh, yeah, come to my site. I don't do any of that. But through Facebook and that, you can tell what I do because of my name being out there. But I always have felt about her that she's got a hidden agenda. And I know I'm right about her. And I think she gets something from me like, oh, she knows what I'm about. Maybe she doesn't even think like that. I don't know. But we'll never be the best of friends because that's just the way that it is. But you know, it's like seeing, I'll give you another example, then I'll let you take it over. Another example is, and this happens all the time, is that you see, like my friend Diane and I always hug and give each other a kiss on the cheek, okay? Well, we do this if we're parting ways at a restaurant or whatever. Now, somebody could look at that and not really realize what it is because, first of all, they don't know us. So your eyes can fool you. We are just good friends, and we show our love for each other. You can see two men hug each other. My son hugs anybody. My son in a restaurant would hug his godfather, which was also his uncle, in a restaurant. And I would watch people, and they kind of look like, oh, why is he doing that? But a genuine, nice, loving feeling. That's an example, I think, that happens probably daily to a lot of people, that they don't perceive things. They don't give it a chance to really look at what's going on, and they just draw these conclusions like, oh, I know what those two are. Well, not really. We're just good friends. You know what I'm saying, Maya? And I'm sure,
right.
You know, Candy's in the room, and she said she's going to love this discussion because it's probably has happened to her also. People do not give you a chance to get to know them before they've already made a judgment call on you. By the way you dress, how you speak, if you're quiet. I can be real shy. I mean, it's hard to believe that, but I can be. I know Maya's thinking, oh, my God, how is that? But it's true. I was really shy when I was in school. And people probably thought I was, as a know-it-all, or look at her, she won't even talk to us. That wasn't it. I was just shy. I didn't know how to react to people. I had to learn. It was a learned thing for me. And I think it happens an awful lot. And sometimes we have to be careful about what energy we're giving off because people can make mistakes about you. And so I'm going to give it back to you before I end up talking for 20 minutes here.
Well,
and you know I can do that. Candy's probably laughing. Oh, yes, she can. Oh, yes, oh, yes.
Well, that's good because we never have just, like, dull silences. But a really good example is my youngest son. He turned 20 on the 26th. And just to be clear, we're Caucasian, but he had, and I probably mentioned his dreads before because I really loved them. He had the kind of hair. He didn't have what you would normally see on a Caucasian male. His hair was a very different type of hair. So therefore, his dreads, they were natural dreads, and they were big, full, like you would compare them to, say, Bob Marley. They were the very thick kind, more like what you would see on more of an ethnic, like African-American. So and the reason why I'm saying that is because a lot of times Caucasians like myself, I'm blonde, I have finer hair. If I were to do dreads, I could do them, but they would look more like braids. It would have a completely different look, okay? The look is a lot smoother. It's a lot more polished. Where natural dreads, especially dreads take many years to grow out and to become to their final stages. So it's a very long transition. And he was in his third year. So they were long, very long, past his shoulders. And if he were able to take them out and brush it, it would have been to his waist probably. That's how long his hair was. So at any rate, he was to general manager. And when he had the dreads, he always wore them back in a ponytail. So he kept them neat. And every other way, he was a neat, nice-looking, presentable young man. Nothing else about him was off or different. He didn't have tattoos all over him. Not that I love tattoos, so I'm not trying to profile that either. I'm just trying to give a picture of, so here's this young man, nice-looking young man, clean cut, wears a dress shirt, they told him for him to be in the permanent position, they felt he was going to need to cut his hair because it just didn't fit. And prior to that, what happens is often they send in these like secret shoppers and people that come in and they just randomly ask different questions, different people, and then they review the people. And first of all, what the people that are coming in that are doing the reviews don't realize is that there's cameras going on, and they all know my sonny's worked there for a few years now. And it never failed that every so often, or just a customer would give a complaint, and they would always say that guy in dreads, and then they would make some type of remark like that hippie looking or that pot smoking, because dreads are often associated with smoking pot, marijuana, weed, whatever you want to call it. And so they're always, and it would never be true. My son does a good job, and I'm not just saying that because he's my son. He wouldn't be the general manager at 20 years of age if he didn't do a good job. But they would always make a derogatory comment. So, you know, he would get probably once a week, he'd get someone that said, well, they didn't give me my receipt, or they didn't offer me extra butter, they didn't ask me, whatever. Just these little things that this protocol that they have to follow when they're serving, you know, as the, he was the assistant manager, as the assistant manager and now as the general manager, they do everything. I mean, if the floor needs to be swept, they do that. If they have a customer complaint, if they need to work behind serving popcorn, whatever needs to be done, they do. At any rate, he did cut his dreads, and he was given the contractual position permanently, and he has not had now everything else is the same, mind you. So if he smoked marijuana before, he smokes it now. If he didn't before, he does it now. He doesn't bathe any more frequently. He doesn't use any new cologne. Nothing has changed,
right,
except he's cut his dreads. And now he is
not
gotten...
did he cut them shorter? Not to interrupt, did he cut them just shorter? Is that what he did?
With dreads, you can't cut them shorter. You have to cut them off. There's no way of salvaging dreads. Because the way natural dreads, unless it's a wig, or that's why I'm saying if you have fine hair and they're almost more like cornrows or braids, you can often undo those. But natural braids, the hair just becomes twisted and tangled on itself. It's almost similar to just not brushing, having curly, frizzy hair and not brushing
right.
it, not doing anything to it for a year. It would end up in natural dreads. So there's no way of salvaging it. They have to cut them all off. So he has a short man's haircut. It's, you know, he may grow it out longer, but it's still pretty short, and he had to get them completely cut off. So his hair is short now, and now he has not gotten one complaint. When he was getting the complaints, the managers already knew that it was just, you know, he wasn't being rude. He wasn't he may have made a mistake here or there, forgot to ask about extra butter. I'm not saying he was perfect. But what the customers were doing is they were seeing this person with these dreads, and normally when we see that, if you're a rap artist, it might be different. But if you're just a kind of an average everyday young person, like police officers, people of authority, adults, these are the people complaining, you know, that were complaining. They associate that with drugs. That's the bottom line. That's where I'm going with this, is they associate that with someone that's a loser, that they're not stopping to think, hey, this person's the assistant manager. They must be doing something right, and I keep coming back to this theater. So we talked about that, and I think that's a really good example. So what was happening is people were looking at his hair and making all these assumptions, and then of course, they were giving off rude energy, and you know, that maybe didn't cause my son to answer them rudely, but it may have, you know, jittered him enough that maybe he forgot to ask about something. Or, you know, when someone complains and you try to remedy the situation, but no matter what you say, it can't be fixed, and you say something like, I'm sorry, I wish I could have been more help. And they say, yeah, I wish you would have been too. And then the complaint is written. The person did absolutely nothing to help me and even said, sorry, I couldn't help you. So
yeah.
that's what I wanted to share, is that he laughed. Also, he had said that when he would be driving, and not that he was saying he had anything to be concerned with, but when he would be driving along, he said every time he would pass a police officer or, you know, whatever they call them, the highway patrol, they would always come and kind of look at him, you know.
Right.
And now he said it's like he's just completely invisible. So he said.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because we really do. And, you know, when we're talking about that, that's something that they actually outlawed. Now, I'm not talking about the FBI that profiles people that are wanted, serial killers or rapists or people on the run that they profile to help catch the person. I'm talking about Obama wrote it into law that it's no longer allowed at airport security. Now, that might have changed since ISIS came up, but they outlawed profiling, meaning that you could not stop someone at the airport or pull someone over simply because of the profile of what. Exactly. So there's been some good positive changes because although there's always that possibility that that person might meet the profile or might meet the idea or vision that you have in your head of what type of person they are, there's just as good a chance as they're completely different. Just like someone can look as innocent and, you know, as, you know, can look a certain way, yet if you got to know them, you would just be literally shocked at how they are. So, I mean, it happens, I believe, when every time we leave the house, we go to the grocery store, and we're not all out there haters, you know, hating people, but it's just our human nature. We're in almost a continuous state of evaluation and making, you know, assumptions and kind of this is running through our head even if we're not speaking it or we're not acting on it. But as we're moving through life, we're thinking, oh, that person has this and this person does that and, you know, this person this. So we're constantly doing that. But what we need to keep in mind, too, is that that's also being done to us as well. Everyone else is making those same assumptions or coming to those same conclusions, right or wrong, about us based on at that moment that they happen to see us. Maybe we fall and they think, oh, my gosh, you know, which I have a really funny story that I'll tell a little bit later on about my sister, Sue. She's just really clumsy, but I'll give it back to you, Natalie, and let you go for your 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's never a dull moment on the show. Never a dull moment. Well, I was sitting here thinking about when I was little. Did I go through that? Did people assume I was a certain way? But the question I had right after you stopped talking was, how did Billy feel about getting his hair cut? Was he resentful, or did he feel, well, I want to get this job, so I guess I'm going to have to, you know, abide by what their rules are so that I look the part, you know, and everybody's going to respect me because I look the part. How did he feel about that? Did that upset him at all?
No, it upset me more than it upset him.
Yeah.
He actually
yeah.
had said that they're very heavy and it's very difficult to wash them and they itch and they pull, they pinch. And he said that he was just getting tired of it anyways. So he said, I don't really feel like I'm making a great sacrifice for a job. I feel like I'm ready to make this choice anyway, so I'm good with it. So he was actually, I think, ready, and I think because so many of his friends and myself were like, no, you know, you're unique, you're different, you see very few again. I don't want to keep, I feel like I'm profiling by saying this, but the truth is you don't see many Caucasians, and I mean we're talking blue eyes and pale skin. He cannot get a tan. It wouldn't matter what he does. He's got white, you know, pale skin. You just don't see that type of hair naturally. So he really had a very unique look. And so, no, he loves it. And he really looks really nice. He looks a lot better than what
I
like.
I bet he does. And I was just thinking that he's probably thought to himself, well, okay, now I'm in the real world. I'm a grown-up. And these are the things that if you want to attain a position, you know, it's like the girl next door. She had her, what did she have, a ring in her nose. She's just got a lot of tattoos, very pretty ones, but she had to cover them. She used to love to do her hair pink. Well, she changed jobs, and that was one of the things that they said to her. You know, you have to look like you're going to be respected. And oftentimes, because there are those who are like you, the way you're dressed and your hair and all of that, you right away think, oh, man, this is trouble. This is, you know, and it's a shame because you don't really get to know the person. But however, if you're in a, now, this is good for him, I think, because he's going to see that, okay, I did this and I got the part. I got it. I did it, you know. So I think it's a feather in his cap as far as I'm concerned. I think it's wonderful that he did that and how proud you must have been.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, because to me, that was a big step. And we have a couple of callers, so if you'll just take the reins here and tell me to be quiet, I'll go to our guests and see if somebody wants to contribute.
Okay. Well, since I don't know how long Natalie will be gone, I won't share the story just yet about my sister. But one thing to consider, I had watched a show, I will share that real quickly, is that we need to, if we have a little bit more openness and compassion for other people and we decide we're not going to be so quick to make assumptions, you know, one would be I recently chipped my front tooth and I'm waiting. I have to get special approval and then they have to do all this. So I'm waiting. It's not real noticeable. But I would say it's noticeable. Now, if someone were to meet me and see that, they would likely jump to a conclusion about my lifestyle or, you know, they wouldn't maybe stop to think, oh, gosh, it probably just happened, which it did, and she has to wait, which I do. It can be very expensive to get something like that fixed right if you, you know, choose not to go through your insurance, which I'm not going to do. So we need to be careful. Or if we see someone, you know, we may catch them on a bad day. We may see a friend or a neighbor at the grocery store and maybe they're in clothes that are not as appealing as what, you know, maybe, and we don't know, maybe their husband or their child or a friend is homesick. We don't know what's going on with them and they had to quick throw on some clothes and run out. It was one of those situations they just didn't have time to get ready. We don't know what their day is like. So it's
I have returned. Excuse me, I have returned. They're listening.
Okay. So it's important that we try not to make judgments. Now, obviously, if we encounter someone who, you know, looks a certain way and then we are interacting with them and they're behaving in that way that fits what crossed our mind, that's a little bit different than that's the way that person is. But if we can try to be more compassionate, what we always find spiritually is everything that we're able to give or to allow, to accept, to be in grace with towards others is always returned to us. And remember, you know, our turn is going to come where, you know, I had mentioned someone being ill where maybe my husband or my son or you know, I had an issue with one of my dogs today. Luckily, I knew about it, but, you know, I've had emergency situations where, you know, I hadn't showered and it, you know, my dog's eye popped out. I had to rush to the ER. I didn't have put on makeup and make sure my jewelry matched my scarf and all that. So I don't know what they thought of me. They probably thought, geez, lady. But, you know, they were making an erroneous judgment about me. And you know, a lot of times that's reflected in how they treat us. And that's really sad that we as human beings can be that way. So try to remember before you jump to a conclusion. My feelings and what my guides teach is this. We can't always necessarily stop what pops into our head and what we think quietly to ourselves. However, we can reprimand ourselves, so to speak, in that moment and say, it's possible that what I'm assuming is true, but it's also possible that this person has gone through something difficult, something that I have no idea what could be behind or what could be the reasoning for this. So rather than be, you know, cruelly judgmental or, you know, assume that like someone like Natalie had said, she was shy. A lot of times people that are shy and reserved and unsure how to be a part of the group can be labeled or can be assumed to be uppity or snob. And that's so far from being true. And it's sad because then it ends up that transmission of energy just becomes so chaotic and jumbled that it's very hard for both sides to break. Where if in the beginning someone would have said, you know, maybe she's shy, you know, not just for Natalie, but for everyone. When, you know, a new coworker comes in and they seem to keep to themselves, a lot of times clients will say, you know, well, this new coworker, she doesn't seem to talk to anybody. And, you know, I will say something like, well, maybe she's not sure how to fit in. You all have worked together. You've already created your little clique. Maybe you should make a gesture of friendship and say, hey, we always eat over here at this table at 11:30. Why don't you come join us and get to know us a little bit? You might be surprised. That might make that person's day. So just remember whatever we give and the more we allow for individuality and we allow that there may be a story behind what's being presented, the more we're going to be given that back in return. And although we may think, you know, oh, well, I've got it together or today is a good day, there's going to be a time eventually and more than once in our life when we're going to appreciate that someone is able to overlook whatever might be going on at the moment that is not, we're not presenting ourselves at our, you know, our very best, whatever that is, whether it's the energy we're giving or we got a bad haircut or we had to rush out of the house and we just threw on sweatpants, whatever. I mean, so I'll go ahead and turn it over to you, Natalie.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing, too, I was thinking about, remember how I've said that sometimes I'll go shopping and I'm at the to get in line to pay, and you can always tell when somebody is new. And I always, when it's my turn to go up there, I know right away that they're new because they're like, they're not calm at it. They, you know, they're just not, you can just tell. They just have this look about them like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. I always tell them, you know, I'll say to them, we're getting a lot of callers, by the way. I'm going to have to go and keep my mouth shut. But anyways, I always say to them, you know, I was new, too. At some job, I was new, and I know just how you feel. I said, but just think, within the week, you're going to have this all done. I have a little talk with them on the side because it's so wrong because then these people will come up and, well, you don't know what you're doing. Well, does everybody know what they're doing? You just have to understand. The whole thing of it is, Maya, you have to get to know people and don't judge them. As soon as you look at them, oh, well, that's a loser. Oh, that's a winner. How do you know? I mean, you could be talking to a millionaire. You don't know. And sometimes, you know, I'll go in a store, and if I feel I've been mistreated a little bit, I'll go to the lady and I'll say, you know, how do you know I'm not a mystery shopper? And she gets this, I do this once in a while, and she gets this look on her face like, kind of sucks in her breath like, oh, my God. Or how do you know I wasn't paid to walk through the store? You don't know, because I would see her being a little nasty to somebody. I mean, it's like I own the place. I walk through it, you know, like Target. I've done it in Target before. Because I just, you know, you should be nice to everybody. I mean, if eventually you get to understand who they are and what they are, okay, you make a judgment call. I understand that. But my thing is, and I've been like this all my life. Of course, I was alone an awful lot. Maybe I learned an awful lot while I was alone, but I never do that to people, never. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Even if somebody sends me a somewhat nasty email about something, about the site or whatever, you know, I am quick to, I'll just sit back. Okay, let's see how we're going to deal with this. I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to be your best friend. And I'll go the extra length to write them something really, really nice. And let me get to these callers here, Maya. So, I'm not getting to talk as much tonight. Isn't that something? Can you imagine me being shy? I mean, everybody listening, you're listening to me talk, and you imagine me being shy? They're probably shaking their head. No. Anyways, take it over, and let me get to – we have one, two, three, four callers here, so let me get to them, okay?
Okay. So, and in today's society, too, we're seeing – so much going on here in the U.S., which I know a lot of the callers, just because of the way it works, are probably from the U.S. And as you know, we just inaugurated a new president, and you know that was under a lot of, it just was a very different election. I put my faith in. Well, I put my faith in God, but whatever you put your faith in, Creator, whatever. So I feel everything is going to be okay. But there was so much blasphemy, and during the campaign, that's a really good another good analogy, or I should say actually example of how the profiling was done, and that was taking people of a certain race, creed, or religion, and assuming that because there were some that had ulterior motives or agendas that were not in a positive light towards the U.S. or other countries, for that matter, many other countries. So it was really a universal or global issue. But to then try to, take one group, I mean, if we look back to there's so much going on right now. I know with the Jewish people, there's a lot of remembrances going on. I'm not Jewish, so I apologize that I'm not able to have the exact, wording correctly, and I probably won't know what it's called. But I know that they're remembering the Holocaust. And how, I don't even know how many, 6 million people were murdered.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because
yeah.
they were Jewish. And now we had, we went through it with so many others. We had the American Indians that were being virtually slaughtered, and it's gone on throughout time. So that's another example. Have we gotten better and more accepting? Well, absolutely. I mean, as a society, as a collective, we certainly have gotten more accepting, but there's still work to be done. Each of us can still, make a conscious choice and decision that before we're going to, if we see someone that has dirty fingernails or has dirty clothes on or whatever the case may be, or is not speaking correctly, or something that normally we would make a very quick assumption, and one that, by the way, is negative, that if we all, just imagine if all, every one of us stopped for a moment and, rather than make those quick assumptions and negative generally, or close to being negative, and instead we replaced that with love and compassion, and instead we thought, I have sympathy because there must be a reason why this person is currently in this situation. There must be a reason why this person is homeless. There must be a reason why this person is, like panhandlers. Yes, I would be the first to say I'm sure there's a great deal of panhandlers that are just simply, that's basically their job. They do that, and I'm sure that there's many that are addicts and alcoholics. But, you know, there are some that I watched a story once, and it's actually a documentary, and it shows these young kids on the street, and it follows them, real stories, kids from, I think the youngest was 11 to 16, and they're heartbreaking. If you were to meet one of these kids and see them, you would automatically assume the very worst. But if you were to listen and you were to hear, you would realize that they didn't choose this. They weren't just troublemakers, liars, thieves, sociopaths, criminals. They went through some of the most heartbreaking and abusive situations to the point where they would rather take their life in their hands and be on the streets where at least they felt they had a chance than to be in the situations they were in. So if we all took a look at everyone and opened our minds and our hearts and our spirituality and said, I'm going to give that person the benefit of the doubt. And if you are in a position and it's a situation where, like you've mentioned so many times, Natalie, you know, helping somebody get something down from the shelf or take something to their car or get it in their basket. I mean, if you can help. But I don't really feel we even have to go to that extent. I think what the most important thing we can do is just to be open in our hearts, because that same openness that we have and that same grace, state of grace, is going to be returned to us. And again, when our day comes and we're not at our best, or we may appear in not the best light, or we may need a helping hand, whatever it may be, slipping on the ice or trying to change a tire, whatever the case may be, we'll find that will come back. And whether you want to call that karma or justice or synchronicity or just the way the world works, that's how I see it. So over to you.
Well, I agree. And for me, I can use myself as an example for most stuff because this is what I do, but I pass people, and if I have eye contact, I'll say, hi, how are you doing today? I don't care where I am. I mean, and I test this when I'm in a lot of people, but I'm an empath, so I have to be careful. I mean, I don't linger with them too long. If I get this feeling, I'll just nod my head and say hi. A lot of people will say hi. You can see it in the store if they'll do that to you. They'll walk by you. Some people, if you look at somebody and you say, hi, how are you today? Maybe they have this mean look on their face, they'll turn and look at you and say, well, hi, how are you? They completely change. So, and that's the first impression. I mean, I could make first impressions with a lot of people and say, well, I'm not going to talk to that person or say hi because look at them. But I don't do that. And, you know, I always say under grace, just like you said, Maya, you do things under grace. I post it on Twitter. That means you just do it, not for anything in return. It's not pay it forward. You just do it because it's in your heart that I want to do this. I want to say this to you. That's under grace. There's no attachment. There's nothing that you're going to get in return except that I believe, and I've said this before, that you have a piece of paper and you've got a plus and a minus column. I would suggest you have more pluses than minuses. That's going to show what kind of person you are. And to run this business that I run and the magazine, it's perfect for me because it doesn't matter if somebody's having a bad day, and the old thing is just kill them with kindness. Just bring back something nice so that they think something nice. But when you see people, your first impression could be really, really wrong. And wouldn't that be awful? I mean, that you know, I learned that in school when I was a little girl. Well, I learned it because I was really shy. And people didn't realize that, I don't know, maybe I wasn't sure of myself. I don't know why I was. I mean, look at me now, I'm not. But that took many, many years to be like this. Working in a huge tennis club, the owner knew right away, oh, she's not shy, she needs to be with the people. That's right. That's when I first fell into it, kind of like when I realized that I could handle all of these very, very wealthy people, not handle them, but, you know, take care of them, make sure that they did things right, they paid on time and all that. I mean, it was easy for me. But had I tried to do this when I was a shy little girl, the boss would never have seen me as this outgoing woman who could run the whole thing herself. He would never have seen that in me if I had that kind of feeling. So his impression of me was really good. He saw right away. He told me, you're not a desk person. You belong in another area, a much bigger area. He saw that the first day with me because, you know, I'm outgoing and I talk to people and, you know, is there anything I can help you with? I mean, that's the best thing you can do for people. And don't, you know, I mean, if you see somebody that's, we don't have a lot of, well, I guess we do have a lot of homeless people in the area. Everybody does, but I'm not in the area where it is, not that I'm in some rich area or anything, but I don't see people like that, but, oh, gosh, it would break my heart. And being an empath, it would make you feel really, you just want to extend yourself. You want to do something for them. But, you see, you can get a first impression about somebody like that, and maybe they're the sweetest people that you're ever going to meet. So it's so important, but maybe they've had a bad, you know, bad road, and all they're looking is for some kindness, but they don't even know how to show you that that's what they need from you. So the best thing you can do is kind of like I do and Maya does. I'm sure Maya does that. I'm sure people see Maya. And if they don't know what she does, they can approach her because she's got this feel about her that she's approachable. I can say hi to her. I mean, you know, I mean, nobody is better than you. Nobody, really. I mean, it's the truth. And if you go out and practice that and practice what you preach like I do all the time, you're going to feel a lot better about yourself, and you're going to have a lot of pluses on that piece of paper, not so many minuses. And I always say that, you know, you're going to present that to your creator when you leave Earth. And to me, you better have a lot of pluses there. That gate is not going to open, you know. And or you're not gonna, but God is all forgiving and the Creator is all forgiving. But I use that kind of as a joke because I want people to realize that you list all the good things that you've done and all these horrible things. I mean, don't have too many on that one side. I mean, we all react to things sometimes and it's negative, but for the most part, you know, watch the energy that you give out because it could be very misleading. And some people, you know, when I'm in a group of people, like the soccer field with all these people, I hold back. I'm not as open like I am on the radio or with people that I have to write to and all that. I kind of stand back and watch, or I sit down in the chair and I look around and I watch. And it amazes me that all the people that are there, I'm using this as an example, are like in little cliques, little groups, and they don't bother to extend themselves. I mean, somebody looks over at me, I'll say, hi, how you doing? Nice game. Don't you think it's going good? That's my granddaughter over there, number whatever she is, and you open the door. You'll know if you open the door, if it gets slammed back in your face, then okay, then you know. I mean, it's not, doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect every time, but when I have to interview people, I know right away with them. If I hear them, I know right away with them. They're going to be able to handle themselves. Because there's things that will come up that I can't hover over them when they work on the site. I can't do that, and I don't do that. But, you know, just you have to give everybody a chance, and I certainly do. And I know you do. I mean, I know how you are. I mean, I've known you for quite a few years now. What, 5 years? Over 5 years? And yeah, you started on Stars right in the very beginning. And so, yeah, probably 5.5 years now. So, it's really important. Sometimes we have bad days, though, you know, Maya, that you have to do something, go someplace you really don't want to go. But go with at least an open mind, and your day could completely change the best could be right around the corner. And you just never know what's going to be coming to you. Sometimes it's really, but part of that is faith. Sometimes it's really tough, don't you think, Maya, to have that faith that this is going to get better. It has to, you know, it has to. But that's a whole other topic we could talk about. But for the most part, I think what you give off in your energy is really important. I don't, it's like you have this wall, you could have this wall around you. Don't you notice some people that you look at them and they've got like this wall that, oh, I can't approach them. I mean, but you've got to remember too, if it's like in a store, like in a Target or a Walmart or whatever, maybe they have something going on in their life that's disturbing to them. And so they can't be all cheery and smiley and all of that. You have to understand that too. And those kind of people, you can still say hi, have a great day. I always tell people to have a great day, always. And I think, Maya, you do that too, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I try very hard because I find with humans, oftentimes, because we don't have opportunities for venting, so a lot of times what we'll do is when we're out and about or we're encountering people, maybe it's the waitress, maybe it's the clerk at the store, maybe it's the person that got the parking space we wanted, you know, all those different scenarios. And we have a tendency to use that as a reason for venting, and so we let that anger, that frustration, that annoyance that comes out of our spiritual core and our emotional being, and it, you know, rises and bubbles to the surface, and before we know it, we're emitting this energy that is a negative type energy. And the other person, even if we don't say anything, we don't have to even say anything rude. We can say, thank you, yes, this is mine. But just the look on our face, and even if we're smiling, if inside we're shooting daggers, so to speak, our energy is one of, again, annoyance or, you know, making, you know, oftentimes false assumptions about someone else. And I believe a lot of times it's just because we need to vent. So, you know, we can vent by being the total opposite. And, in fact, when we vent through love and compassion and by saying, you know, okay, so I've had a bad day or this has gone wrong, but I'm going to walk in this store. And, you know, I wrote recently about how we have to play the role. We can't sit around and wait until we feel a certain way. Oftentimes we have to be that person. So when we're talking about, you know, making assumptions about people and defining them by their looks or by their attitude or by how we see them in that very moment, if instead we continue to remind ourselves to use love and compassion as our base or our core energy, and even if we take a minute and before we go in the store or go wherever it is we're going to eat, whatever it is we're about to do, and we say, okay, I'm going to open my heart all the way up. I'm going to open my spiritual core. However you want to word it, creator, God, source, whatever, the term is unimportant. The most important is not even how we speak to the person, but how we emit the energy that we have within. And you're right. If we feel good about ourselves and realize that we're just as good as everyone else, but by the same token, everyone else is just as good as we are, and that we all have bad days, we all have off days, we're all, by the grace of God, or again, whatever term you want to use, just because I have a home, that doesn't make me special or, you know, anointed by anyone. It just means that, you know, by the grace of God, my life has come together in such a way. A person that doesn't have a home doesn't mean that they're a loser or they're a bad person. Perhaps their challenges were those that no matter how hard they tried, they couldn't overcome. So walk in that store, go in that gas station, into that restaurant, and put love in your heart and treat those people with that open love and compassion and give them the benefit of the doubt is if maybe they're having a bad day and they haven't learned the lesson yet, so they're venting by, you know, being, you know, you can tell when someone loves their job or is having a great day versus someone that's taking your order and, you know, is moving from side to side and rolling their eyes. But rather than reacting to that and responding negatively, you know, instead just smile and say, you know, like you said, you know, how you approach people that are new. I mean, you can just smile and say, I know it looks like you're probably really busy and you might be having a bad day. You know, we'll get it together or something like that. Don't let it affect you and bring that your energy down to that level. Instead, try to pass your positive energy on to them. So that's what I believe is the most important, is the energy that we carry around with us, the way that we present ourselves, again, in energy. If we present ourselves in positive grace, love, compassion, sympathy, and we, all, just like we see tomorrow as having faith and hope, and that some, there's always something good around the corner, around the next bend, tomorrow, next week. If we see that the person that we're dealing with, regardless of what they may show to us, what type of obstacle or what they may have that makes us take a second look or doubt the sincerity or whatever the case may be. If we just take a moment and say, you know, I don't know what they've been through. I don't know what their day's been like. I don't know what their childhood's been like. I don't know what their life has been like. So I'm just going to open my energy up to them and just let them feel my kindness and my compassion. And if we do that, I really do believe that we will receive that back to us and that we won't have a need then to vent with annoyance or frustration or anger or be snippy or snarky. That will just fade away, the need for that, because we'll be filled with love as we're, you know, sharing that love with others. So that's how I see it, is the most important is the energy that we give and we share with others, because that's exactly what gets returned to us.
That's true. And you never know how, by saying something really kind, how it's going to make their day be much better, because somebody took the time to notice them. You know, there are so many people that are not noticed unless you do something grandeur or whatever, you know, and that's just so not true. You have to, everybody is a value. And, you know, I'm seeing it more and more. I don't know, maybe it's just getting older. I have no idea. I don't think it is. I think it's just being more and more spiritual, as you are, Maya. You really get to learn and you get to see what's really going on. And, you know, just be kind. Like you said, be kind. Give the person a chance. Let them smile. Maybe you'll make them smile. Maybe they don't smile very much. But you say something to them and they smile and you walk away, and I bet you any money you're going to feel really good about that. I know I do. I know I do every time. And then I let it go. I mean, I don't dwell on it. I don't hang on it, because that's not, you know, that's just not me. I don't do that. I don't keep doing that kind of thing. But sometimes I'll see somebody, and I just, like the girl that's a cashier that's just learning, she just needs to hear something from somebody. And when I was talking to her, these people in line were listening, and I leaned over and I said, I bet all of us have been, we had a job or did something that was brand new, and they'd all say, oh, yeah, I remember when I had to do this, and I didn't know what I was doing. And right away, she changed. She changed her posture. She felt more confident, you know, because I made everybody, oh, yeah, I was so stupid at my first job. Oh, my gosh, I was horrible. And, you know, everybody's new at something. And hopefully you'll have somebody that'll come up and say, you know, I was new. Don't worry. It'll get better. You're going to be doing this like in 5-6 days. You're going to be good to go. But you have to have your little feelers out, and you have to watch people enough. But like I say, I don't get too close to that many. I'll see little, really little old people, and my heart just goes out to them. I have to help them. I can't stand it. I could spend a whole day in the grocery store helping people, but the people that I see really need it, you know? I mean, I don't know. That's just part of my nature, I think. But anyways, yeah, so we're getting close to the end of the show here. Oh, I just love this topic because it's so close to me. It's so close to me. I just feel it. It's just, it's wonderful. It really, really is. And what everybody, and I think of this movie all the time. It's called Fried Green Tomatoes. And it was with Jessica Tandy. I was thinking about this. Do you know I can sit and think and see some scenes in that movie and I cry? Nobody's here. No. The movie isn't on. It just gets to me. So, you know, just remember there have been things in people's lives that got to them too. And maybe you can pave the way a little bit, just make their day a little brighter. And, I mean, I know Maya does it. You know I do it. I mean, I deal with some Lulus that email me. But that's why I do what I do, and that's why Maya does what she does, and everybody that's listening, that's why you do what you do. The only thing is you've got to make sure that you do it the very best you can, and just treat people, even if you don't know them, so what? I mean, you know, but you know, there are some people that just don't want to be bothered with other people. They have so much on their plate that they don't really want to listen. They don't want to look up. Well, all you can do is mentally say to them, make sure they have a good day today. I do that. That's one of the things that I do. And you walk away, you don't even bother them. You know, you have to know when to not bother somebody also. But yeah, what a great topic. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, Maya, but I bet you it's going to be a good one.
Right. And before I sign out, I'm going to share the story about my sister. She's 10 years younger than me. And you keep in mind that from the time she was probably 8 months old, she's just been a clumsy person. And she's probably broken every bone in her body once, if not twice. And, you know, thankfully it was very obvious to all the doctors and the staff when she was young. And I helped raise her again. I was 10 when she was born. That, you know, she didn't come from an abusive home. They realized early on that she was just very accident prone. And I mean, you can't even imagine how she would get into, and it wasn't not being watched. But so anyways, she's an adult now. And this is all happened within one day. Her name is Sue, and I know she wouldn't care. I mean, nobody knows who she is. She shared this story a million times. First of all, it was a very close friend of hers. They had just graduated from, I probably won't get the name right, but it's the FBI, the academy, and they had gotten their, so they were, you know, they were full-on FBI now. And so she had a full-time job. She had kids at the time. This was about probably 10 years ago now. And so she had been in a hurry all day. And she's always falling, tripping. Really, seriously, she's broken both ankles like two or three times. Broken toes.
Oh my.
Just everything you can imagine. Collarbone, legs. So the first thing to start the day off is she went into a well-known coffee shop to get a latte, which is how she generally started her day. And when she grabbed it, she went to fall. And when she did, all she could think of was to grab hold of this guy's shirt. And when she did, not only did she knock him down, but she knocked the coffee all over him. And he wasn't very pleasant about the experience. And she has a great sense of humor, which my family does, and I do too. Well, she couldn't stop laughing, and the guy said, you know, I'm sure he used some explicit language, but he said, I don't think this is one bit funny. He said, I have to go to work, and he said, you ruined all my clothes, and so I think she gave him $20, but she said she couldn't stop laughing because it was just funny. He said, what the heck, you know, he used a little bit different way of putting it, but he said, what the heck is the matter with you? And she said she ordered another coffee, but she said she was just really careful, and she said everybody in the store, a couple people laughed and snickered, but she said most of them just kind of in a wave moved away from her. So she got through that day with very little mishaps, and she was running late, and he had some type of, I don't know if it was a brandy or like an after-dinner type of alcoholic beverage that he liked. And so that was what she was getting him. They were having a very small party for him. And so she was at the liquor store. Now, my sister hadn't been drinking at all. You know, she can be a social drinker, but she was on her way home from work. Well, she was in a hurry, and she was wearing the same high heels that caused her to fall earlier that day spill the coffee. And when she fell on the guy, of course, she fell on him, so the coffee spilled. Luckily, it wasn't too hot all over him, and she didn't really get it on herself. So the first thing is when she came walking in the door of the liquor store, she was rounding the corner with the back of her basket, and she knocked a whole case of bottled beer on the ground. All the people came running, and they were, first they asked, are you okay? You didn't get caught. And they asked her what happened. And again, she was kind of laughing because she was remembering earlier, and she was like, oh my gosh, I mean, day is just not going well for me. And she said she was trying hard not to laugh, but, you know, she was laughing a little bit, and they said, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I'm sorry. I know it's not funny, but she said, I think the corner of my basket caught on something, and when I pushed it to get it free, I didn't realize that it hit. So she asked him where she could find this bottle of whatever it was she needed. So she hurried around, and when she got to where it was, she realized that it wasn't as big as what she had anticipated, so she didn't need the basket. So she left the basket sitting there, and she grabbed, they were getting ready to close, and she was running late. So she grabbed, it came in a really pretty box, presentation box and that. So she grabbed it, and she was in these big high heels, and she was hurrying up to the checkout, and as she did, she fell, and when she fell, the bottle went flying out of the box. Broke all over the store. And so the same people came up to her and wouldn't let her get up.
You better
and they
go
said,
home, lady.
No. They said, no. They said, you just need to stay where you're at. They said, we're not serving you can't purchase any liquor. They said, we've already put in a call to the police. And she said she was laughing. Said she was laughing so hard, she said, I need to use the restroom. And they said, no, you're not getting up, because if you hurt yourself falling, they said, you almost fell the first time, and now you've fallen. They said, you've already cost us over $1,000 today.
and she didn't even tell them about her first encounter.
Right. So they said, we want to make sure, you know, I guess they'd already called the manager when she broke. It was a whole setup of bottled beer. I don't know why they had it. I don't know. I don't go to liquor stores. So anyways, the police came and gave her a breath test, and of course she was negative. And
so they're giving her a laugh test.
Yeah, and, you know, so she passed, and she told them, I'm not hurt. She said, I just had a clumsy day, and she said she told them what happened at Starbucks, and they said, you probably better just go home and not try to buy anything.
Take off those high heels.
Yeah, or take off those high heels, one or the other, but that's her for you. So I guess they did end up, once they realized that, you know, she was not inebriated and that she was fine and that it was just an accident. She said the people were just, you know, really upset, but they did buy it for her. But the guy told her, he said, no, I'm going to carry it out to your car for you. So that's what happened. And so the clerk or whatever, the stock boy, carried the box of whatever it is she purchased. They did let her purchase it and put it in her car, and he said, drive safe. And she said she knew they were thinking, geez, I mean,
yeah, what is the matter with this woman?
A walking tornado. Yeah, I mean, she's like a cartoon. She came in here and knocked stuff over, and, you know, especially a liquor store, of course, they assume from the get-go when she knocked over the beer, they thought, oh, here we go, we've got a live one. But anyway,
yeah,
that,
right.
That's a funny story. So everyone naturally assumed that she was a drunk, and she was actually just a klutz, so.
Oh, my gosh. Does she do that all the time? I mean, is she just notorious for that?
Yes, she is, actually. I mean, she's had things happen to her that you just can't imagine how anything could have even. She's the kind that, for example, threw a pair of scissors, and when the scissors hit, they hit the back end of the scissors, and they came back and poked into her arm.
Oh, my gosh. You'd see that in a movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally that bad. She's been run over by a car, her leg. She's broken her collarbone. I mean, yeah, she's just gets herself in, and she's notorious for falling, and everybody always, we know, the family knows back away from her, give her space, because she's always trying to grab other people to break her fall, but they always end up taking the brunt of it. So with that, I'll leave everyone, and
it was a cute story. It was a really cute, I mean, not story, but a chain of events for her in one day.
Yeah,
I bet she gets that a lot. That would make me stay home.
Yeah, she
but it's
said
true.
She
it's like you're a magnet. When something happens, you're a magnet, you know, sometimes.
And
you
just
attract
she,
that kindness.
She had the whole party entertained with the story. She said everybody was just laughing the whole time. So I wish everyone, I'm sure we'll have a great topic next week. And good night to everyone. And, keep an open heart and an open mind. And remember, not everything is as it appears. So.
That's right. Exactly. Well, I'm going to say my good night. Thank you, Candy. She was in the chat room, and now I think she's still listening. She got kicked off the internet. Sometimes you get in the room and you can't stay in there. But she does a great job. Thank you, Candy. She knows I love her. We love her. I love you, Maya Moon, and my little boopies. I haven't asked about my little boopies. Are they doing okay?
They're doing great.
Our little puppies. They're puppies, but I call them boopies. Anyways, join us next week for another nice topic, and do look at the blog, because Maya Moon writes every day. The thing today was I'm in love with you. No, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And I'm sure women and men have heard that from the opposite sex. You know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Well, read what she says about it, and it's going to continue tomorrow, I think, or maybe it will be Wednesday, because usually she talks about what we discuss on Monday night. She does that for the blog. But anyways, and that's starswithaZpsychics.com. Come visit us. I have a multitude of all kinds. I feel the best in the world of advisors. They're wonderful. Of course, I'm wonderful. I have to pat myself on the back, but I'm just kidding. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, you will find somebody there that you can really resonate with. Okay, we'll see everybody next week, and I love everybody, and good night.